talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Radio from Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, and Wisconsin Rapids. And soon, a lot of other places. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Going to the telephone lines with three callers on the line. I will get to each of you in this segment. Do not hang up. We're going to start with Jack of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jack?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country.
You had mentioned earlier about
January 3rd. Now, according to the way I understand, the law clearly states that when a president leaves office, he's supposed to leave those documents at the White House, and then those documents get transferred to the National Archives. And if it doesn't go that way, it's a crime. Well, I think you mentioned that I could have this wrong, that there were, January 3rd, there were two of Trump's lawyers. One was supposed to have signed a statement that all the documents were turned over, or no, made a statement, and then I guess another lawyer was supposed to have signed it. So my question is, these lawyers know that it's a crime. Shouldn't they not be charged with this crime? So anyhow, that was my question.
Right.
And so I'd like to hear your answer on that. And thank you for giving me the airtime.
Yeah, no, thank you, Jack. Yeah, excellent question. And here, let me give you the timeline. Trump left office at noon on January 2021, and he loaded a lot of boxes about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days before that. He had them loaded on Air Force One and flew into Mar-a-Lago. So that's number one. He held on to them for a year, and then January of 22, after a lot of negotiations, he turned over 15 boxes and falsely said that this was everything. The June 3rd, what you're thinking is not January 3rd, it's June 3rd in 2022. 2 months, well, 2.5 months ago, almost 3 months ago, a fellow named Bratt, not Bratwurst, but B-R-A-T-T, head of intelligence prosecutions for the Justice Department, physically went down there with FBI agents and met with him. And that it was June of 2022, almost 3 months ago, that the lawyer wrote a written statement saying that everything had been turned over, and that was false. The lawyer has only two defenses. One defense, one defense is, I genuinely thought that because Trump told me that. But that's ratting out Trump, who is her client. The other one is to, I don't know, go through a criminal prosecution, because you're right. That is what's called obstruction. If it were under oath, it would be false swearing, possibly even perjury. But if you signed a document, if a police officer arrests you, says, what is your name? And you give him a false name, or what is your address? You give him a false address. That's a felony. It's called obstruction. Now, prosecutors vary on how bad it's got to be before they prosecute. But if you write something to the FBI and the DOJ saying, I've turned over everything you didn't, that's a felony. And either she should go to jail for it, or Trump should go to jail for it if she's relying on Trump. Jack, thanks for calling. Next up, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Well, man, I certainly hope I'm wrong about this, but we're about the same amount of time out from the midterm elections right now as we were between Biden being elected and the craziness of January 6th. The Republican Party's starting to see things slip away from them in the Senate races, and all of a sudden now the House looks like a toss-up, possibly. Are they ramping up something with the likes of Lindsey Graham saying what he said so that there's unrest at election time that tamps the vote down?
You know, that's a good point. you know, I would be amazed if there were any formal plans or agreement, because that would leak out. But I think that one thing does concern me, and I want to tell you what it is. And that is, as we get closer to the polls, let's say for some reason, it looks like the Republicans may not even take the House. Let's say they're not going to take the Senate, and then they're not going to take the House, even though in off-year elections, when the incumbent president's party always loses, or almost always loses, a lot of seats, is there going to be any unrest? Is there going to be any violence? There are two things that impact that. One is the Republican Party itself. Trump will egg it on. Trump is the one at his rally said, beat up these protesters and I'll pay your legal fees. He's the one who said, I think that Hillary Clinton's, the Second Amendment people should, quote, take care of her. He's the one, his bodyguard in New York, there were some protesters. The bodyguard went up and sucker punched one of them, almost knocked him out, hit him right in the face, and nothing happened. Trump advocates violence. And even though people who like Trump think, oh, well, he just has a colorful personality, he is advocating violence. So he will do something like that close to November. The question is, what is Moscow Mitch, Kevin McCarthy, any responsible leaders left in the Republican Party do? But if they continue to do what they're doing, like even Ron Johnson in this state, they won't egg it on, but they'll just lie in the weeds, or they will give sort of lip service. Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I do not think that there's a formal, well, I don't know. I mean, there could be, but there's no evidence that there's a formal plan right now, but it is building up to potential violence. And I think everybody in law enforcement understands that. And what's really going to be interesting is the Republican convention in Milwaukee in 2024, because there are going to be a ton of protesters on both sides. So stand by. We don't want violence in politics. We haven't had it since the Civil War. We don't want it again. Any responsible person has to do everything in his power to stop it. Going back to the lines, Mark of the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Mark.
Yeah, good morning, Matt. And again, I'll quote from Hamilton in 75, because this is not inconceivable to the founders. We'd run into a situation like that. Hamilton wrote, "An avaricious man might be tempted to betray the interests of the state to the acquisition of wealth. An ambitious man might make his own aggrandizement with the aid of a foreign power the price of treachery to his constituents. The history of human conduct does not warrant that exalted opinion of human virtue, which would make it wise in a nation to commit interests so delicate and momentous a kind as those which concern its intercourse with the rest of the world to the sole disposal of a magistrate created, and circumstances would be a president of the United States." So, I mean, the founders even recognized we could see this kind of situation. And, I mean, we have to, you know, nip this in the bud. I mean, it is just simply, you know, as has been said before, none of those documents should have left the White House. Trump probably never planned on leaving the White House, because he didn't form a transition team after his loss in November of 2020. I mean, that there was, they dragged their feet, because I think they actually thought they were going to pull this off, and that he was going to stay in office. And it does, you know, that this is probably part of his core, his constituents, a contingency plan to, you know, to do God knows what. I mean, that for the people that have the scales over their eyes, they better get them off their eyes, because this guy has betrayed the United States in doing this. I mean, it doesn't matter at this point in time whether it's gone to what has happened to that stuff. He has betrayed the interests of the United States for his own interests. Those documents, there should have been no negotiations. I mean, that the patience that they showed in saying we'll negotiate with them, no, there should have been no negotiations at all. They said, you turn these things over. They never should have left, and if they weren't there forthcoming immediately, they should have stepped in. You know, damn the political consequences here in that kind of thing, because this was just the man is still a clear and present danger, as is probably his entire family, to the United States of America.
Yeah, you know, that is eloquent. Hamilton was eloquent. Your rendition of it was very, very important. The founding fathers, at one point, some people wanted Washington to be king. They did. King George I of America. some people wanted the president almost exclusive power. But what the founding fathers did was very wise, is have a system of checks and balances, because when he said an avaricious man may link up with a foreign power for his own interests, i.e. Trump and Putin, he anticipated that back in the 18th century, 220, 30 years ago, he anticipated that. The flaw, the fly in the ointment, the flaw was the president still has appointment power. He has pardon power, and he can appoint judges who are not elected. And even though there's nothing in the Constitution that says they can overturn any act of Congress, in fact, Hamilton and Washington and the rest of them would have been very surprised to see what the Supreme Court did in the last 200 years. The fact is, there is a court mandated body of law that's come up, and that's what's driving this thing. And in a complicated mercantile society like ours, it may be necessary in commercial things. But now you have freelancing. Now you have a judge in Florida saying, I want to see all these documents and maybe give them back to Trump. You have, and she's a Trump appointee. You have Jeffrey Clark, who Trump wanted to make acting attorney general and overturn the election. So it's our job to build on what the founding fathers did and make sure that these checks and balances work. And you're right, there shouldn't have been a negotiation, but people were thinking, well, you know, look, everybody looks and they go, well, Washington, Lincoln, and Roosevelt wouldn't have done it. Correct. And also both parties, I'll tell you what, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Reagan wouldn't have done it either. None of them would have done it. But you have a rotten apple who is desperate. He has, I've never seen an ego like his. The guy was president of the United States. You'd think that was pretty good. No, no. What he's doing is taking nuclear secrets and agents and lists of agents. He's got to be selling them. Why would he do this? Why would he send people in after they signed a statement saying that it's all been turned over? And then at night go in there and grab some docs out and get them somewhere. We don't know where they are. This guy is an enemy of the United States. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You've heard of QAnon. Well, everybody goes, well, yeah, QAnon, those are real nut jobs. Yeah, the Republican Party is bad. The leadership is bad. But at least they're not QAnon. Nobody really knows what QAnon is. It's this, somehow it just rose up out of the weeds. But basically the core belief, I'm not sure how many of them believe it, is that there's a cabal, a group that meets in the basement of a pizzeria. For God's sake, pizzeria in Washington, D.C. Pizza is the most consumed food in this country, and fast food. I love pizza. I love pepperoni and mushroom. And I like it in Paisans, which unfortunately is closed in Madison. Very sad, very, very sad. But I'm digressing. Apparently, I haven't had breakfast yet. But in any event, they meet in a basement of a pizzeria, and they are involved in various sexual perversions and plotting to take over the world. Okay. So other nut jobs. Well, increasingly, there have been QAnon candidates in the Republican Party. Mastriano, this guy in Pennsylvania, has made QAnon allusions, sly little allusions. Cox, the Republican nominee in Maryland, is QAnon. Some of the candidates in Arizona are QAnon. You think, well, most of them will lose. Actually, a couple in Michigan, too. Most of them will lose. And if one or two sneaks in, well, you know, everybody will take care of them. The Republican Party will come to their senses. There's increasing evidence, believe it or not, that the QAnon infection is spreading into the highest leadership in the Republican Party. And I'm not talking about Moscow Mitch and Kevin McCarthy. As bad as they are, neither one of them has shown any affinity for QAnon. Although in this state, I'll tell you what, there was a resolution in Congress to denounce QAnon, and Tom Tiffany, up in the northern part of the state, voted against it. And I think Gallagher just voted present. But in any event, it turns out that Trump himself, through his social media, Truth Social, is increasingly warm to QAnon. Now, you may say, come on, Matt. You do this on Trump, you that. Yeah, he committed treason on the documents, but don't be ridiculous. Well, no, I'm not being ridiculous. I'm going to give you some data. Don't believe any. My grandmother told me, Matt, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. And she was a very wise person. So I'm going to give you the data. Trump started this thing called Truth Social because he was thrown off of Twitter and thrown off of Facebook. But he has 3.9 million followers on Truth Social. On Truth Social, this was just reported yesterday in the New York Times, 88 users who flat out promote the QAnon conspiracy each have more than 10,000 followers. Trump has amplified content from 30 of the QAnon accounts, and he has more than 3.9 million followers. When I say amplified, I mean either liked it or reposted it. Trump, 30 QAnon accounts. Trump has reported messages from the QAnon accounts on his social media 65 times since he became active on that platform in April, 65 times. He has reported messages from those QAnon accounts. Trump was thrown off of Twitter after the January 6th insurrection because they were afraid that he was promoting violence. 32 of the QAnon accounts on Truth Social were previously banned on Twitter. Trump started Truth Social in February of 2022. He went active on it in April. He previously had retweeted more than 20 QAnon posts in a single afternoon in 2020. This is before he had his own Truth Social. 2020, he retweeted more than 20 QAnon posts. One Truth Social user has more than 31,000 followers in May. Posted an image of Trump sitting on a throne that showed a QAnon emblem behind him, big Q. Trump reposted that image. Trump has also reposted messages that include the QAnon code words. And one of them is WWGIWGA. Where we go one, we go all. He reposts that. He also reposts messages that talk about a storm coming. It's not stormtroopers. It's talking about mass arrests that will occur before the deep state is overthrown. He's reposted messages from QAnon about civil war and a coup. Devin Nunes, remember the California congressman? He's the CEO. He regularly engages with QAnon, and he tags QAnon. This is Devin Nunes, the CEO. That account of his has 218,000 followers. It regularly posts code words like trust the plan, a QAnon phrase, and other phrases. Trump slams the fake news report that he is almost $2 million in debt and in legal trouble over Truth Social. That's the evidence. At the highest levels of the Republican Party, that's Donald Trump, you have somebody who is continually engaging in, posting in, and repeating QAnon's message. If he gets back in as president of the United States, we will have a QAnon sympathizer in the presidency. We're going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is an incredible revelation, talking a lot about Trump. But this really goes beyond everything. Come to find out, were you ever curious, as I was, why Trump took, among the other secret documents about Emmanuel Macron, the president of France? I mean, you know, why did he do that? France is in NATO, France is in the EU, France is our oldest ally. George Washington had a hard time winning the Revolutionary War without France. They've been our allies in every war. They are a centerpiece of Western civilization. So why is he bringing a dossier on Emmanuel Macron? Well, this just reported, it turns out he has been bragging openly to friends. And remember, some of his friends, one of his friends was Anna de Rothschild, except there is no Anna de Rothschild. That was the Russian spy. You could go in, you send a woman in and say she's Madame Chiang Kai-shek, who died decades ago, and he'd brag to her. He just shut his mouth off. He bragged to friends that he knew the illicit details of the love life of French President Emmanuel Macron from intelligence. That is toxic. Let me give you the background. Emmanuel Macron married a woman, and this is more common the other way, but decades older than he. I think Emmanuel Macron was in his 30s, and she was, I don't know if she was in her 50s or 60s. She was a lot older. I mean, I'm not just talking about a little older. And now some years have gone by, and she's aged and he's aged. The CIA has dossiers on every world leader, including unflattering things about them, including the details of their love life. Putin's a pervert. They know who he's been with. This is true of every country in the world, even our allies. For Trump, and these kinds of things are shown to the president if he asks. Most presidents wouldn't ask for something like that on an ally. But Trump has a prurient interest in this kind of thing. And he was shown the folder on Macron and is boasting about what Macron is doing sexually. Now, Russia knows the same thing in China. This is not the same as the identity of spies, but it's potentially almost as dangerous because you can really anger an ally. You can anger the French people by doing this kind of thing. And it does explain why among the lists of spies in the nuclear secrets, he stole documents on Emmanuel Macron. You know, I'm talking about it now in Reddit. Emmanuel Macron knows it, and the French people know it, and they are our strong allies in NATO and the EU. This is the kind of thing you would do in the eighth grade or in high school. This cheerleader is doing that. That football player is doing that. This is not the president of the United States. For the love of God, this is not the president of the United States, except it was. Go to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. I love the way you educate me and the rest of your listeners. It's really in-depth discussion, but I want to hit on two points. Fox News, it can sense the blue ripple is turning into the blue wave. Here's what they tried to attack today and actually made fools out of themselves. They are so upset that New York is accepting these immigrants that are coming from Texas and how they're taken care of and how they're given things. Fox just detests this. I can't believe how stupid these people sound. I don't know if they're listening to the monitors, what they're talking about. Here we're helping immigrants, and they're just saying that's horrible, that's terrible. They don't want to help students with loans. But last point, I was with my grandson this weekend, and I found out he listens a lot to Fox. So I asked, he's 19 years old. He's riding with me. We're getting stuff ready for a hunting camp for this fall. I said, how's it going? He said, oh, this recession is killing me. And I said, really? It's killing you? How? He said, well, the cost of everything. This is just horrible. Well, I know where he's getting this from. I said, wait a minute. You just got a new job from your old job. You're going to be making a shade under $100,000. And you think we're in a recession? I said, and if that's not enough, you have two other offers to better yourself past that. You're 1 year out of high school. You're not even in college. You call that a recession? And he looked at me, God bless him, and he said, you know, you're right. I guess we're not in a recession. And we've got to talk to people like that. And whether it's your kids or whatever, all this stuff, oh, inflation is killing us. Really? With record unemployment, it's killing us? With record jobs? I mean, if you need a job, if somebody can't find a job for $20 an hour, have them call me. I'll have them a job in 24 hours. Promise. But this nonsense by Fox, they're getting desperate. They can sense. They even in the subtitle, across the screen, Deb's getting stronger heading toward midterm. So I'll hang up, and thanks again, Matt, for the job. Keep it up.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Yeah, I think you did. That's a very, very important statement. All of the media has shown in the polls that right now the Republicans are going down, the Democrats up in November. Remember, at one point, one of their favorite things to do, pollsters, is to do a generic question. It goes like this. If you're running for Congress and there's a Democrat and a Republican on the ballot running against each other, who do you vote for? You know, they don't give a name because names have name recognition or they have prejudices and all that. Who do you vote for? 6 months ago, people were going Republican by 6-7 points. Now they're saying Democrat by a couple of points. Now, that's not enough to rest on your laurels, because people who say Democrat frequently don't vote as in high a percentage as people who say Republican for whatever reason. But the truth of the matter is that people are slowly coming to the realization, you know, you're talking about your grandson and the economy. And I have nieces and nephews I've talked about to it, too. Here's the deal on that. Walmart is starting truck drivers at about $100,000 a year. Truck drivers were always badly treated. They had to be independent contractors. They were paid nothing. Now people are understanding supply chain issues. If we don't have trucks moving product, our economy shuts down. They should be paid. They should be paid. There, you know, people talk about $15 an hour minimum wage. Nobody's advertising $8 an hour and expects to get anybody. You're right about 15. You're even right about 20. They can go to a lot of stores and get that. One area that I'd like to see increased are teachers and, frankly, district attorneys in Wisconsin. The Republicans talk a good game while they were in. Wages were so low in the district attorney's office and the public defender's office that some of them bartended and waitressed to make up their income. You do not want wait staff or a bartender there at night when they're supposed to be preparing a murder trial. Okay? The Republican Party will kill wages whenever they can. That's why they kill unions. Now, the truth is, though, that what Biden has done, inflation, they holler about inflation. Inflation is a fever that affects the whole body, and the body is the world. Inflation is worldwide. You do not have a fever just in one hand or one foot. It's your whole body. The fever of inflation has been cured better in the United States and still with full employment and higher wages than anywhere anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world. So when you attack the doctor, Biden, for just slowly taking you out of your fever, far better than anyone else in the world, you don't go, oh, well, we're going to change to what? To a guy who stole documents and lied about it three times that showed foreign agents, the sex life of our allies, leaders, and nuclear secrets. To do what? To do what? To sell it to whom? To give it to whom? To show it to whom? That is the question. That is the million-dollar question that nobody so far has been able, nobody has been able to answer satisfactorily. Nobody has been able to answer satisfactorily. You know what's amazing about Trump? You know what he did yesterday? He put out a statement. He said, I demand a new election immediately or to be restored to the presidency now. Now, you know, at some point, you have a guy in a street corner going, the end of the world is near. Or he's up on a soapbox and he's shouting about something, some conspiracy. You know these guys. And in New York, one of the two things that they shout to shut him up, one of them is, quote, if you're so smart, how come you ain't rich? Now, Trump will say he is rich, but he's in debt. Or they shout, are you a veteran? Not that it means anything in terms of relevance, but you got to fight back. So Trump is up there going, I won. He's still saying that 22 months after he lost. He lost by 7 million popular votes. He lost by 74 electoral votes. And he's going, I won. I want to be restored to the presidency, or in the alternative, hold a new election. What kind of former president does this? The only president in history who ran for president, was elected, served, lost a second term, but came back and served an interrupted term. In other words, he was president, somebody else was president, and then he was president again, was Grover Cleveland. Grover Cleveland didn't act like this. He didn't steal things. He didn't steal secrets. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't get on a soapbox and somehow go, I was rightfully elected, put me back in now, 22 months after he lost. So I can what? I can withdraw from Ukraine, let Putin complete the genocide. So I can withdraw from the Pacific and let China turn the South China Sea into a Chinese lake. Really? That's what you do? Bust the EU? That's this guy, and everything I've just said about documents he took. And let me tell you something else. If there was a second Trump term, by just appointments and executive power alone, he could continue the destruction of our economy. Put Jeffrey Clark in as attorney general, and he will announce that an election that elects a Democrat is invalid. He'll put in all federal judges, all of them in the next 4 years by then, and they will all say, if he stole the documents, give them back to him with agents' names, like the one in Florida. He'll appoint the entire Justice Department where there's a presidential appointment. He'll appoint the head of the CIA. He'll appoint the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So the next time the military sides with him, when he doesn't like the way an election's going, you know, you wonder, we talk about this a lot, why is this like Germany in the 1930s? Obviously, there are big differences, and the big differences are, A, the military didn't go along with it. B, the media didn't go along with it, the big media. The major newspapers and the TV networks didn't go along with it. C, enough federal judges didn't go along with it, even some Trump appointees, that they shut him down when he tried the coup. And these important parts of our society held. The Democratic Party held. Some Republicans held, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, but not enough of them. But if he ever got in again, and you had Jeffrey Clark as Attorney General, and you had Jim Jordan as the head of the Judiciary Committee picking judges, really, he's next in line. Next in line. You will see a reenactment slowly, more slowly than in Germany, of the ability of the growth of our democracy will impede it. It'll be retarded. You won't get to vote for president. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to say something now. No democracy can survive if poll workers and average citizens are frightened by threats of violence and if good people are removed from office. And that is what's covertly happening with these increasing threats against everybody. Let me go through the litany. Some people in the Republican Party leadership, and I'm talking about in Congress, are calling the FBI the fascist Bureau of Investigation because they executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago. I got news for them. The FBI didn't direct that search. The Department of Justice did. And they got a warrant signed by a federal judge. It said there was probable cause to believe that there were felonies in violation of three statutes committed, and evidence was at that location. The FBI was required to execute that search warrant. If they hadn't, they would have been in dereliction of their duty. Trump retweets threats. Lindsey Graham the other day said, if Trump is indicted, there will be a riot. That's an invitation to a riot. For a U.S. senator to say that, that's a saying, well, I wouldn't do it, but sure would be sad if something happened to a member of your family. That's a mafia threat. Lindsey Graham made that threat. Trump sent a taunting email to Merrick Garland saying, people are angry. You know, I'm afraid what's going to happen. If I can help, let me know. It was a threat. It was a taunt. Dr. Fauci was driven into retirement. He'd been the head of the NIH Infectious Disease Agency for 43 years. He never needed security. Now he needs 24/7 security for him and his family. Judge Reinhart in Florida, who signed the warrant, needs 24/7 security. The FBI's office in Cincinnati was attacked and shot at by a guy who was then killed. In Phoenix, a mob with guns descended on the FBI office. Poll workers are routinely threatened with death, and many of them retire. And in some cases, this happened in Texas, it happened in Nevada. All of them in a different office will resign. In Idaho, a librarian quit who'd been there a long time because she received threats from people who were not, they were just a right-wing group who demanded she take 400 titles out of the library. And these were not the kinds that are usually controversial in high school. There were 400 books they didn't like. She said, I'm out of here. I'm not putting up that kind of threat. Public health officials were threatened. You know, you might have a school nurse. I mean, you might have anybody. And if they say you should be vaccinated, they're threatened with death. There is a sick subculture of violence in the country, in politics. It traces back to Trump's initial statement that the Second Amendment people should take care of Hillary Clinton. And nothing happened to him for that. And he's routinely threatened violence. And it seeped down. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us from my day, Wisco Paul.
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for your show. Thanks for all your knowledge you give to everybody. To my knowledge, Johnson, the guy running for governor, Michael, they don't stand up and denounce this stuff, and I don't know if any other Republican congressional delegation either. And it's time for those people to step in and say, hey, this needs to end. So that's just my opinion this morning, and I don't understand it. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, you know, Paul, that's an excellent point. What would you do if you're in a party? It could be Democratic or Republican. And the leadership of your party, in this case, it would be Trump. He's the de facto leader, not the real, not the official leader, but he, de facto, he's the leader in the polls. Is saying this stuff about QAnon, making threats. Senators like Lindsey Graham are making threats. And people like Dr. Fauci, DeSantis of Florida, who thinks he's going to be the nominee, said about Fauci, quote, somebody should take that little elf and throw him across the river, end quote. Fauci's like 81 or two. If you threw an old man across the room, you could kill him. Get a subdural hematoma, break some bones. That was a violent statement. Disqualifies DeSantis from being president. And I don't know why they're ganging up on Fauci. He is the humblest, quietest individual I've ever seen in a prominent position. There's no ego whatsoever. He doesn't boast. He just says the science shows this, and they threaten him with death. They threaten the FBI with death for executing a search warrant. They threaten a federal judge with death. Reinhart, nobody's gone to jail for any of this. What, they can't trace the phone calls? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But Wisco Paul's making a good point. Where's the denunciation from Michaels, who's now the effective head of the Republican Party in the state? Where's the denunciation of any of this? Any of it from Ron Johnson? How about their congressional delegation? Tiffany, Grothman, Gallagher, Steele, Fitzgerald. Where's the denunciation from the party chairman, from Voss, from LeMahieu? They're afraid. They're afraid for two reasons. One, if they did denounce it, they would get death threats. And number two, if they denounced it, they would get a primary and Trump would endorse their opponent. That happened to Voss. This guy, Adam Steen, ran. Young guy had absolutely no credential whatsoever to be in the legislature, came out of left field, and he came within 2 points of beating Voss because of Trump's endorsement. That's why this is going on. But at some point, you have to have more patriots in the Republican Party than Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. People have to stand up with a voice and say, we're not putting up with death threats because of what I said at the beginning of this segment. No democracy. No democracy can survive when poll workers are afraid for their lives and when good people are removed from office because of fear of violence. Coming to the end of the show, great call-ins as always. Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.